Okay, if you would like to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. You know, the song written by Edward Pola and George Weil, you probably know more commonly as, they wrote it, but Andy Williams sang it, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." And you might not be able to detect the quickly approaching Christmas season by the mild weather we're having, but you know what? I think that's going to change in a couple days. So if you're not in the Christmas spirit, oh, it's coming. Maybe not when you grab your shovel, but soon enough. But even the slowest individual quickly catches on by the increasing sales catalogs, TV commercials, specials and parades, and the demands on time and just plain living. This is also the time, as many of you will do or have already done, to put up your Christmas tree. See, we just kind of, this is one step ahead of where I'm at home, okay? Mine's still in the garage. Not a place where you'd want it, but I'm eventually going to move it up. But it's time to put up your Christmas trees, either dusted off or put together or chopped down from the wild and brought back in with their natural smell. And once brought in, either in plastic or natural form, the decorating now ensues, the place we haven't gotten to on this tree. It's that on which I would like to spend the next several Sundays discussing, not how I'm going to trim your Christmas tree, because that would be just kind of just weird, but what you're hanging on your Christianity and the process it takes. More specifically, how does your tree of salvation look to the world? How does it look? Its appearance makes a difference on how you act, react, affect, and live in this fallen world. And usually your perception is not so easily matched by what is reality. And the goal of our Christianity is to reflect the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the baby whose coming we celebrate this time of the year. So today we're going to look at various elements that as Christians, as Christians, we should have not only on us, but in us all year. And that's where the true beauty and continual lasting power of God resides. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you just for your word, how important and practical it is in our everyday living. So during this time, just open our hearts. Let us learn what you have to say by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Strengthen us, encourage us, and just move us along in our walk with you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Before we get to our verse here, Gospel of John, just a little Christmas tree trivia. I won't bring you too many facts about it, but Christmas trees have been sold commercially in the United States since 1850, and they are grown in every state, including Hawaii. I don't know what palm tree Christmas tree. I don't know what kind of Christmas trees they have there. The best-selling trees are Scotch pine, Douglas fir, Fraser fir, balsam fir, and white pine. And tinsel was once banned by the government. Surprising. Tinsel contained lead at one time, and now it's made of plastic. Generally, Christmas trees take 6 to 8 years to mature, and 100,000 people are employed in the Christmas tree industry. Now, so much for the tree trivia. We're going to move to tradition or habit. The decorating of Christmas trees differ greatly from established family traditions to evolving or recovering ones. Many take the time to put up the tree on Thanksgiving night and take it down on New Year's Day. How many put theirs up on Thanksgiving? Not many. Yeah, a few people. And a lot of people take it down on New Year's Day. Or in our house one year, it survived till I think Valentine's Day. I did. You could just hang different ornaments on it, I guess. Just change the lights. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did that, at least in February. St. Patrick's Day? Wow, yeah. I don't know. Might as well just left it up all year round. But the time, the times, places, the ways we do it all have a great variation in them, yet the action has one commonality. They go up in order to celebrate Christmas, the coming into the world of God's only Son and Savior of all mankind. Many miss the point, and it can't be assumed that all who erect and decorate the trees are Christians. It's funny, What are you guys celebrating? Putting up a Christmas tree? I don't think a lot of atheists do, but I'm sure some do. They're just contradicting themselves. But the reason for the celebration of Christmas is steadfast and firm. It's all about Jesus. Now, not only does the time of putting up a tree vary by household, but so do the decorations of what's placed on them. There are extreme decorators like my mom, who puts up 7 trees. Some are about this big, but there's 3 pretty full. There's a green tree, there's a southwestern tree, there's our traditional family tree, there's a little patriotic tree, there's, I don't know, I'll take pictures of all of them when I go back there for you. So it's usually for people who have a lot of time and really like doing that, which she does, because I have trouble just even getting up one tree. Now, most stick to the one and decorate with various trimmings, lights, and handmade ornaments that have special meanings that your kids made, that you might have made. You might have new ornaments replacing one that your cat knocked down. My cat chewed up my lights last year, so I don't have any lights on my Christmas tree. I'm going to get new ones. But as a Christian, as a child of God, you've been granted or given, gifted eternal life by that baby that came into the world, Jesus, who got up, he grew, and became the perfect sacrifice for the sins of all, rose again in order to give eternal life. And that's the Christmas story and the gospel message. Also, Christian, you are not now under obligation to have or hang certain attributes on your character, but these should be placed, they should be, or visible at times during your life and walk in Christ. See, what I mean is that there's things we should do as Christians, but God's not going to force you to do them. He's not going to force you to do them. Some are more obvious than others, but all are a part of the totality of not only the individual believer, but who and how great is your God. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 tells us, for this is the will of God. If you want to know the will of God, here it is. Your sanctification. What's your sanctification? Well, I'm glad you asked, I'll tell you. It's sanctification is made holy. It's the process of living the Christian life. The will of God is found by living the Christian life. And we're going to see how the Word of God is the foundation of that. So the next several weeks, we're going to take a look at certain characteristics or fruits or items that are necessary to have as a Christian. And to see how not only you can better look, but more importantly, strengthen your walk and live in such an undeniably state of pointing directly to your God in his glory and power and might. That's what we want to do as Christians. So we're going to read, if you're still in the Gospel of John, we're finally there. We're going to read with me the first 14 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children, children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the last verse we're going to look at. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We say it so often, and it may seem like overkill, but if you desire to grow in your relationship with Jesus, you must be in his Word consistently. I can't say that enough. Bruce says this. If he's not here, then Joyce will say, well, if Bruce were here, he would tell you. You don't know that, do you, Bruce? But I repeat it often enough because, guys, God works through his word. His word. John 17:17, while Jesus was praying for his disciples in the garden, he said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We're coming up on a new year. Set this goal. Just say, I'm going to read the Bible through this year. I do the 1 year. 2 years ago, I did the chronological. This year, I usually do the 1 year Bible reading through. You get to read through Psalms twice. Guys, do it. It's amazing. This will be my 16th year I've done it in a row. Okay? You can do it. Take the time, whatever works in your schedule. You will be blessed because you know what? You'll see things like you've never seen them before. And you need that in your life. He breathed life. He gave us life by breathing it into us, our soul. So we have that to nourish. We need to feed that. And like I said, it's not me or Bruce or someone else pointing this out. Once you read God's word, it declares it and demands it. And when you just read the scripture, I was looking through it this morning, how many times it says the word, the word, the word. 3 times in the first sentence, referring to Jesus. He is the word. And then when you read it, the light, the true light, God's making a point. And we read it not for academic reasons, but for our very own soul. So we protect, strengthen, and we get guidance. God's word, in relation to the trimming of a tree, I would not even categorize it as a decoration, but the water that gives the natural tree its life. That's what it does. That's what it does. It's not even, God's word isn't even the decorations you put on a tree. It's the very thing that keeps it alive. John 7:38, Jesus said, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, referring to his word, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And the Greek means torrents of living water. It just means a flood. Not even a little trickle, but a flood. And without that source, without that nourishment, you're going to start dropping needles. You're going to look scraggly, and you're going to really make the people angry. You'll have to vacuum and clean up the needles. Rusty said, maybe next year we'll get an artificial tree so we won't have to clean up the needles that all drop down. This won't be a bad idea, because usually I'm not the one who has to vacuum them up. Matthew 3, it's not something to desire or behold. It's something we need. A good-looking foundation, a tree that we're able to decorate it with the attributes of God. If not, Matthew 3:10, John the Baptist said, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. It's thrown in the fire. And believe me, when we have the camp for the boys in the winter, we take the Christmas trees that are done, and you light a tree on fire, oh man, it goes up fast, really fast. But of course, the decorating, beautifying, adorning, enhancing, and embellishing can't take place until the tree is selected and put into place. And for Christians, we call this salvation, and it's the relationship building. The relationship building is called sanctification. And Jesus has shown us by believing you have eternal life in his name alone. We're given that. It's determined. The question I want you to keep in mind alongside the baby Jesus in the manger is, how do people see your tree? How do they see it? Is it acceptable? Is it non-offensive? Is it traditional or just okay? Is it a nominal Christmas tree or name only? Example has, do you put, I love Jesus down in the front, but the scraggly trees, the empty beer cans, the foul language, the blinking lights, the lights that don't work, do people just kind of look at it and say, I don't think that sign really fits that tree too much? Is your life, is your faith willing and able to be displayed? Is it what is required by God? Do you hide your tree behind your curtain? A lot of people just open up their curtains at night, you drive by and say, well, that's a cool looking tree. Or do you just kind of keep the lights off or kind of hide it? Or do you even keep it in the garage like I have mine right now? And you might say, well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? The hearing of his word opens blind eyes It shines light into darkness, and it saves lives for all eternity. Guys, this is the time of year as a Christian you really get to talk about Jesus more than others. People who don't even know the reason why they celebrate Christmas do. And you can tell them why. You can tell them why. There's so many openings. There's so many opportunities. And people will come to you if they know you're a Christian. They watch you. Especially if you've come from a lifestyle that you weren't a Christian, and then you are a Christian, they'll watch you to see if it's real. And it might take a year or two, but eventually they start coming up to you and asking you for advice, just out of nowhere. I know you're a Christian and you read the Bible. I want to ask you this. You've got to be ready. But you're not going to draw them in if you don't display what God wants us to. And what about your Jesus? Another question. Do you just like all the stuff, the Christmas stuff on Facebook and share and copy of it? Or do you just like to eat all the great food? Well, who really doesn't like that part of it? My mom just sent me a candy basket, a candy box with cookies, and then I got the Wisconsin cheese box right after that. It's a good time of the year.
Amen.
Exercise a little heavier this time of the year. Heavier. Oh, I didn't even see that. A little extra to keep the heaviness off. But or do you just celebrate it and just gladly take your presents, rip them open, and just walk away? Do you hide God? Do you hide from him? Or do you plug into the mighty power of his Holy Spirit on a daily basis and declare his life-saving message year-round? That's the key. And guys, our witness doesn't always come, and it doesn't have to come with the musical lights or bell. It's a daily walk in the presence to provide a silent witness that will transform lives. J.I. Packard said, without God's explanatory word, talking about Scripture, God's redemptive action could not be recognized for what it was. The clearest revelation of God, the incarnation, is nevertheless the most muddy to man. Simply put, the good news of salvation is effortless if we live it. If you're not in his word, it's like dragging around a 100-pound deer by yourself, by the feet, okay, with its horns digging in. But if we would simply proclaim what we know about God, we'd be surprised at how many would listen. If we would just give the simple message, people just listen. You just listen. It's when you start trying to beat them over the head with Bible verses. And like, you know, we just taught the book of Galatians and somebody comes in with a bunch of tattoos and they're like, look at that guy. It's like, man, come on in. It's come on in. I mean, I do jail ministry and every guy's loaded with tattoos. I had a guy there that came up, he had just, Joe, he had them everywhere. And the cool thing is, Joe last Thursday, he just came in. He was in quarantine for sickness. He wasn't even supposed to be in Bible study. And we talked before everybody got there for 10 minutes. Never read the Bible. When I was teaching God's word, he was looking at me and tracking the whole time. He was in tears. And I told him afterwards, I said, how did you get here again? He said, I was in quarantine. I said, yeah, I got here by listening to God. Not a coincidence we met Joe. Not a coincidence that we met tonight. And the guy's just like, yeah, I know. So cool. It's just so neat the way God works. The importance in a Christian life and walk with Jesus is the continual growth and placing of the items on your character. Using what he's made available, revealed through his word and received by relationship. You feel more comfortable with God when you know him. Because you're like, God, did you give me this? And he's like, yeah, I gave you this to use. I want you to do this for me. And it's the taking of God's word, applying it through life and his relationship, knowing him, not knowing all the answers, okay, but his love. I mean, example of this, listening to him and him being in charge. When we let the kids usually decorate the tree at the church on Wednesday nights, it comes with adult supervision, okay, and lots of it. We need guidance and order and instruction, although the kids usually have their own ideas of what, where, and how about placing the ornaments on the tree. Usually, because I've supervised this, if you don't watch them, they all end up in one spot, depending on the height of the child. And they don't put any in the back. It's like there's this, if you let them, there'd probably be a blob about this big on the front if we let them decorate this tree on their own. And that's not such a bad thing, but God knows what is needed and how to go about the process. You know, the low-hanging stuff is easy in our Christian life, right? I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to kind of get rid of my language. You know, I'm going to start kind of doing this and doing that. But it's the tougher stuff that's higher up. It's that time where you really have to forgive somebody. It's a time that somebody lied to you. It's a time somebody really hurt you bad, that God puts the stuff higher up for you to, it's for the world to see. It's for the world to see. And God's not restrictive, but he's critical because what we do, we represent him. We represent who he is. And the thing is, when we listen to his will, when we place those things he wants in our lives, it leads to his glory. We see mercy, we see grace, we see truth starting to pop up on our trees, righteousness, obedience, and it's all sourced out of love. Some people take the haphazard, you know, let's get her done approach to decorating. It's like the new Grinch movie when they're just shooting the houses with the lights, and that would be so cool to have something like that. I'd decorate my house every year like that. I'm just not a very patient man when it comes to putting up lights. You climb up on a roof, you hang over it, staple it in, your hands are freezing. Man, it's hard for me to get past that, okay? I don't want to ruin your Christmas spirit or anything. I don't have lights in my house. I don't have any. Maybe I have one. No, I don't have any. But you know what? It's just kind of in it. Some people take the same approach to their Christianity. They take the same approach to Christianity. You know, this time of the year, to many, is just another thing to do at holidays. Check off. Put up the tree, let's move outside, get the lights off, freeze my hands off, pull out the wreath, and at the end of the day, just kind of breathe. Just kind of breathe. But Christianity, we can't afford to do that. And here's what we need to remember. Your life, your so-called tree, and listen to me closely, isn't for you to look at, okay? You're to check it every once in a while, but it's not for you to look at. You'll never see your Christianity for whatever it is until you stop continually looking at it or comparing yourself to other people. And you might be saying, well, what? Guys, when you place your life completely in God's hands, you trust in him to use you to put what is needed and necessary for all the world to see. You don't view it, you just prove it. Because when people look at you, they need to see Jesus. You don't need to be like taking a selfie going, yep, I'm looking like Jesus today, and I'm posting it on Facebook, the selfie stick, and I'm posting it. No. It's for the world to see and for you to prove it by putting those things on. And Christianity, it's not an event like Christmas. It's a one-year thing we celebrate. It's a permanent lifestyle, not once a year to dread, but daily to embrace. We've come to show the people the love of God. That's what Christians are to do, to show people the love of God. We looked at this verse a couple weeks ago, John 13, 34, 35. And you can turn over there if you want, probably still in John. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, and he says this next phrase three times, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Man, if you're watering your life through the Word of God, you can't help but love one another. You can't. I mean, I can't get by a day without humbly crying out to God for assistance. You might say, well, Pastor Dave, what kind of sin are you involved in? And I would answer, I'm just living my life for God and I need his help to live it. I was listening to Pastor Alistair Begg on a podcast this week, and he quoted a pastor I can't remember who said that even as Christians and every human being, we have the capacity to commit every sin imaginable in our hearts. Everything. Think of that. We have the capacity to commit every sin imaginable. That's why I need God's help every day. a few verses, and by no means all of them, on the Word of God. And I'm spending a lot of time on the Word because it's important. And these are all from Psalms. And I'm just going to go through them real quick. They're in, if you want to look them up, they're on the verses on your bulletin. Psalm 107:20, it says, "And he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Psalm 130, verse 5, "I wait for the Lord." I love this one. "My soul waits, and in his word I do hope." And Psalm 147:15, "He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly." His word heals, it lights, it hopes, it's swift to minister, it helps. Are those things in your life? Do people see those things in your life? The fact that the all-powerful God has offered eternal life to you is nothing short of a miracle. Think of that. The fact that God would send his only son for us who didn't deserve it to give us eternal life is a miracle. Jeremiah 20, verse 9, "But his word was in my heart," Jeremiah said, when he wanted to quit. Jeremiah says, "But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." He's like, "I want to quit, but I can't. I just can't. The word of God is just moving me." God is very intentional and specific in what he desires and requires to be placed on our lives. We were created in his image, meaning once saved, to reflect who he is. I just love that. So we're just going to move on. I'm going to touch on a couple other of these characteristics that we like. And time prohibits me from really getting into any of these because there's so many. And you could spend whole studies on them. But I just want to remind you, the world looks for spectacular, and we do too. Spectacular displays, but God uses a holy life. You might say, "Well, God, I want a ministry like Billy Graham, or I want one, you know, I want the biggest Christmas tree like the one in Rockefeller Square." Like if you watch Elf, the guy, he says, he brings her and shows her the Christmas trees, and she goes, "You want, I'll show you a Christmas tree," and brings him and shows him. I think it's the one in Rockefeller Square. But it's, guys, if you're holy, meaning sanctified, set apart, and you're committed to God, he will use you mightily. He will use you unbelievably. Often it's not the way we think or how we think. But you know what? It's the way God wants to. Because he has other people for those things. You know, I stand up here on Sundays, but it's by the support of everybody else in the church that I'm able to do it. I mean, it's not a one-man band by any means. It's everybody here together exercising their gifts and praying for one another. A tree has lights. A Christian must also give out light. Matthew 5:16, and I'm going to run through just a couple quick verses on different attributes. Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, I love this verse, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That they can, you have an undeniable witness to Christ that they can't do anything about it. Nobody can ever take your Jesus away. They may take your Bible away. They may take your cross away. They may try to strip us of our churches, but nobody will ever be able to take Jesus away. Ever. Psalm 86:15, talking about mercy and truth, those things we need to have in our lives. And I love it how they always go together. "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and grace, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth." And all those things in there, compassion, being gracious, long-suffering, abundant in mercy and truth. Micah 6:8. Audrey taught us this a song on this. I was singing it in my head when I read it. "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you?" Notice the action that we have to do. "But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." God wants active participation in our Christianity. We need to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Your salvation and his glory is guaranteed in Christ, but you will never be able to reflect and produce the power on your own. G.K. Chesterton said, Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and not tried. It's not tried. And for everybody. Christianity's for everybody. We know this from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And I never noticed that until I got this in our Christmas card this year. Luke 2:10, 11 confirms this. The Bible's the best commentary on itself. We're talking about this in Sunday school. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. I never noticed that before. It's for all the people. For this day in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah. We don't so much have to wrap so many gifts this Christmas. I don't like gift wrapping, okay? I'm getting better at it. I didn't have to do a lot of shopping this year. But we went yesterday. That was enough, believe me. Target was really insane. But what is truly needed individually first, then as a church, is to wrap our hearts, minds, or the will of God, and souls around the fact that Christianity and all that comes with it is a year-long, lifelong pursuit that sends us to everybody. It's for all. Our salvation isn't for us so much individually as it is for everybody else, because that's why God gave the Great Commission. Otherwise, he wouldn't have talked about that at the end of Matthew. He wouldn't have commanded that we go make disciples. You can't shine without the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot put something on that means anything unless it's directed by God. You can place whatever you desire on it, but if it's not for the kingdom, it only becomes gaudy and strange to behold. People kind of look at your tree and say, I don't even know why they put that on that Christmas tree. That's just really strange, because it doesn't make any sense. More is not always better. Less can be effective, and sometimes that's the way God likes to operate. Now, just kind of winding this down, there is no such thing as a perfect tree, although many may come close, okay? That's a pretty good-looking tree right there. It's pretty full in all the right places, but it's not a perfect one. It usually has a bad side that can be hidden by turning it into a corner, although many publicly displayed trees and all their decorations don't have that option. And as a Christian, we know we are imperfect. Okay, if you don't think you're imperfect, I hate to burst your bubble, but we all have a little flaws, a few dents, some more than others. So we know we're imperfect, and it is what is the everlasting life given to us that is to be not only publicly displayed, but to be declared. The knowledge of our fallen state, repentance, and conversion is a transformation that needs to be heralded. We need to let people know about our experience as a Christian, our testimony. That's why I got these books. That's why we read other people's testimonies, so we get familiar with them, so we can share our own. And that's what makes your light shine, by sharing, caring, and loving. It's not natural acts, but godly ones. The decoration or trimmings are important. But as we're going to take a look at next week, so is the process. There's a process that is involved as a Christian, okay? Not something haphazard or accidental, although some trees look that way, are in a desperate need of some tender, loving care. But let me leave you with two things. Why is it that we try so hard this time of the year, the holidays, to make them so perfect? The compiling of lists, the getting of gifts, the travel, the trim, and all the food. Have people over we really don't get along with most of the year. But by the grace of God, we can do it at least one day of the year, okay? Yet so many spend so little effort to lift up, reflect the reason for the season or their salvation. We spend so little time in that. It's like God gets our leftovers. Oh, I got 5 minutes before I go to bed. I'm going to read my devotional. You get two and a half minutes and you're out. You know, and sleeping on your Bible, it doesn't transfer by osmosis or anything like that. I tried that with my biology book in college and it didn't work. It didn't. It's not for lack of decorations or trimmings or our trying. It's the absence of God's word in the life of a believer. And I'm not putting anyone down. I'm pointing out and up that what you have as a child of God is given to be shared. And your storeroom is full. It's full. I'm going to lastly end with this devotional from Experiencing God Day by Day from Henry and Richard Blackaby. And it comes from the December 10th reading. The reading, the scripture is 2 Peter 1, 3. You can turn over there if you want. It's one of my favorites. But I'm going to read the Amplified. For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life in godliness. Though true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Blackaby said, as a Christian, you have everything you need to live a holy and abundant life. Your intelligence, your education, or your family background do not determine the holiness of your life. Everything you need to live a victorious, joyful, and abundant life is found in the Holy Spirit who resides within you. According to Peter, each Christian by faith has access to these qualities. Goodness, knowledge of God, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. It would be of no use to inherit a fortune if you did not know it was yours. Likewise, it is of no benefit to inherit everything necessary to become like Christ if you do not claim it. If we continue to lack self-control when God has made it available, we rob ourselves and those around us. If God is willing to instill brotherly kindness into our behavior, but we never display it, people will suffer needlessly as a result. Just think of that. If we're not being the Christian we should be, just a daily walk with God and growing in him, other people suffer. And I'm not putting any pressure on you. I'm just trying to encourage you. There's so much more treasure in life than maybe you're partaking of right now. A couple more paragraphs, the small paragraphs. The key to all that God has made available to us in our faith, the key to all that God has made available to us is in our faith. We must believe that God wants us to build these qualities in our lives. In the gospel, Jesus related to the people according to their faith. He rewarded genuine faith by granting salvation and healing. If he met unbelief, he did not reward it. He finishes by saying, review the qualities that Peter said God wants to instill in you. If you lack any of these qualities, ask God to work them into your character so that you will be more like Christ. That's how we end it. We put up our Christmas trees every year, but we need to love our God every day. And when we do that, when we're in his word, when we're watering our lives, guys, we can't but naturally reproduce these things. People will try to take them, people will try to kick them down, but you know what? You'll never be able to be moved from your foundation. Never, ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you just for your word and for the life it gives us, the light it gives, the life it gives, just the strength it provides. Continue to encourage us, Lord. Strengthen us. Let us not get discouraged knowing that sanctification is a lifelong process, Father. And as long as we're daily with you, we can't help but grow with you because we're moving forward. Give us the courage. Give us the endurance. And Lord, just give us each other to help move along this road, this life we have here, this side of heaven. Thank you, Lord, for all you do. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Please stand. Do you have a closer for us, Ted?
Well, Greg, can you get that song?